We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
And welcome to the official Light Years After Show. Andy Liu, you know, this season has not been about wins. It's just been about positive vibes. But tonight, we got both positive vibes and a win. How you feeling?
I feel good. It throughout the entire game, all I could think about was how easy the Warriors were scoring. Like, that was the main thing. It did not feel like at any moment in the game that the Warriors were struggling to score, right? There have been games this season, Sam, that I feel like the Warriors have scored a lot of points, but it felt like it was difficult to get those points. Amount of passing, screens, cuts, whatever it was. Did it not feel like to you that it just came easy? I wonder why.
Absolutely. I mean, part of that is the Bulls are not particularly good defensively.
That is true.
I was laughing pretty hard because I was excited to see LaVine because he's just been on a tear all year and naturally just horrendous tonight.
No, hey, you called it.
Yeah, but all right, let's get it going here. So the first thing we got to talk about is Steph Curry coming back, clearly still hurt. I don't know about you, but once I saw him wincing after he started falling, it just gave me shades of like just so many other times you watch him play. And anytime he goes in the air, you're holding your breath. But he toughed it out and he kind of figured out how to adjust. And I mean, he got whatever he wanted. He could have scored 50 tonight if he wanted to. What did he end with? Casual 35, 32, yeah. Something like that. I mean, he played like 1 minute in the fourth quarter just to make sure the win was secured.
Yeah. Just special stuff. I don't think the tailbone, it hurts, but I don't think it's stopping him from moving the right way. Like, it's not hindering him. It's not like he sprained his ankle or sprained his knee, God forbid, right? Or anything like that. It didn't feel like he was hindered. He looked like same old Steph. It was just whenever he landed, the dude could barely get up. And he landed like 6-7 times tonight. So it was scary. But yeah, just the same. He had one of those, I think, KD games, is what I call him. After an injury, he just looks exactly the same as he was before. So kind of no rust, none of that stuff. So yeah, it was special stuff from Steph tonight. And it was one of those games where I felt like he said, you know what? I'm just going to go get my shot. Y'all can figure this stuff out later. And that's usually what's best for this team.
Yeah, they needed the win. Steph decided to come out aggressive, kind of put pressure on the defense with his, you know, with his scoring ability. And then from there, everything flowed. I feel like we talked about this before we got on here, but the most noticeable difference tonight was there were a lot of on-ball screens to start the game. Go figure. That worked.
Yeah, that was the funniest part. I was texting you before the game, you know, we were just, do you think they're going to do this? Do you think, because, you know, they say a lot of stuff. We recorded the Light Years Premium podcast, and you can sign up on either of our pages when you find the link. We're wondering, because Steph was saying how they would run more pick and roll with James Wiseman. And, you know, they talk a lot, at least Steve has this season, and they don't end up doing it. But literally, the first 10 possessions, I want to say it was like 8 pick and rolls. And that's what I mean when it was easy buckets. It was nonstop. Again, Bulls trash at defense, but how are you guarding a Steph Curry pick and roll? You can't.
No team can guard it. You have to send a second man at minimum. And then once you send the second man, it's a 4-on-3. And unless you're an elite defense, that's usually right. Just an easy win for an offense. And the Bulls are not an elite defense. Dare I say, like 25 teams in the league are on elite defense. You know, yeah. there's only a handful of teams who know what to do with that. So that should be kind of game plan number one. They did it tonight. But you know what made me most excited about it? Like, obviously, Steph, we're just not going to see another one like him whenever he retires, right? But, you know, we're ways away from that. But to me, the biggest beneficiary tonight, James Wiseman. Best game he's played since he came back from that wrist injury, in my opinion. You know, he was dominant in that fourth quarter in garbage time against the Clippers, but what does that really mean, right? This time, started getting him going on those pick and rolls, got some easy buckets, and I feel like that's all it took for him. He got out of his own head. Like, it just took a little bit for him just to see, like, hey, I can play at this level. Next thing you know, he has 6 points in the first quarter. Mood's a little better, 8 points, something like that. And then you start seeing him make a difference on defense because of it, because he's he had 4 blocks tonight. And I feel like his defense got better as the game went along. Was it perfect? No, he looked like a rookie. He still made some rookie mistakes, but like just night and day from what we've been seeing recently.
Yes. Like that's, I almost want to tweet it, but it's true, right? It feels like, look, the guy's going to be able to play big league defense and offense. He can't do it consistently right now. And part of that also is because it just seems like he's having such a tough time out there mentally. So tonight, after he got a few easy buckets, it got a lot easier. And it wasn't like he was playing scrubs, right? He had to go out there, and there were going to be times where he's on an island.
An all-star. Yeah.
And LaVine, like he would be switched out on LaVine, and he would have to guard Vooch. And Vooch is good, legitimately good. And he actually shot a few buckets on Wiseman. But I think that's part of it. Like, the dude needs that confidence to be out there to play, especially defensively. Because it's like every player in the history of basketball, nobody's out there begging to play defense. Like, no one. Unless you're Draymond, I guess, right? Like, Rudy no Gobert. One's out there. Yeah, Rudy Gobert. But, like, nobody's going out and playing basketball and thinking, all right, I'm gonna draw 3 charges and 3 blocks tonight. Like what? 16 deflections is my goal this game. Like, there's nobody that's going out there doing that. So
why is Kraft,
Nico Mannion? Nah. But like he's like every other guy. So it was good to see some easy buckets, and that got the rest of the flow going for him.
And it's not like a secret. Like, you hear the beat writers, you hear everyone talk about how he feels so much pressure on his shoulders because he's playing with Steph Curry, because he's on a team that wants to make the playoffs, as opposed to like Anthony Edwards, who's on a team who, you know, they're building for like 2 years down the road. Right. And it always seemed like criminal to me that like, it wasn't a point of emphasis to just get him going early, so he would just relax. Like, literally this kid, if he's just relaxed, can make an impact. That's without him even knowing what to do as a 19-year-old at this point. Like, just purely based off of athleticism and kind of the raw skill that he has at this point, he should be able to make an impact if he's just calming down a little bit. And that's what we saw tonight. And that was what was the most exciting to me.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And it wasn't even like he didn't even have a coast-to-coast. Like, here's the difference between this game and some of the other ones earlier this season. He didn't have a big flash play, right? He didn't hit any threes. He didn't shoot any threes that I saw. He didn't like block, go coast to coast. He didn't have like some spin move, like dunk, right? Like, there was nothing that was
honest type play. Yeah,
like, oh my God. But it was the kind of the little stuff. It was the easy plays, the little stuff that you're just like, yeah, that's the stuff that makes you a above average NBA player. And that's the type of, that's good development. That's good development. And I don't know, Sam, if it was a hot mic that, or maybe it was just one of those games. But one of those games that Wiseman's just yelling on. But the dude was like swearing and yelling, but it didn't feel like it was the bad kind. Like he kind of hated his life like the last month or so.
No, he was like hyped up that things were going well. Yeah.
So that was cool to see.
And actually, I liked your point about Vucevic scoring on him. That was big for me too. Like you're not going to shut down a guy like Vucevic. He's going to get his points. But just to see Wiseman like not be upset when he gets someone when someone scores on him, huge, right? Like it's the culmination of those little things. It's like, okay, so Vucevic hit a tough shot on you. All right, next possession up. You know that they're going to score 100 points. That's how basketball works. You can't like live and die by every singular possession. Like that's always been, in my opinion, Draymond's best attribute. Draymond can like act like the world is ending, and then on the next possession, it's like nothing happened, right? Like he does not get shook. He does not carry possessions over to the next possession. And that's like, that's the first thing you want to see from Wiseman. Just like play a little freer. You're going to make mistakes. Go with it.
Yeah, the mental capabilities of all of these players are funny. You got Wiseman, who's kind of too hard on himself. You got Andrew Wiggins, who, you know, just kind of sometimes doesn't seem like he likes basketball. And then you got Kelly Oubre, who's playing 200%, but probably isn't all the way there IQ-wise. So it is a funny quartet that you've got with those four starters. And then you've got Steph, who's kind of had a, you know, with the way that he plays tonight, kind of puts them all together and says, well, there's enough talent here. And if he's as good as he is offensively tonight, which he usually is, then you've got a team that can win some basketball games, right? So it is funny how much I think Steph has on his plate, on his proverbial tailbone or back. So it was a fun game.
I feel like we got to talk about Wiggins real quick, and then maybe we can open this to questions.
Yeah.
Wiggins has been on tear since the All-Star break, and tonight might have been his best game because he was passing it pretty well too. He finished with 5 assists. Assists aren't always the best measure of passing, but like it just seemed like everything was a lot easier for him. He was getting into the lane when he wanted to. Obviously, he's been really hot from three for the last couple of weeks. You know, that'll come and go. But like for me, it's more seeing the decision making and some of the other things that really lets me know how dialed in he is. And potentially how good he could be if you add a little more talent to this Warrior team next, you know, Klay Thompson, maybe a couple of free agent signings, and Wiggins doesn't have to be your number two option every night. He's really showing signs that he can be an impactful winning player.
I will be fascinated to see what he ends up shooting from three at the end of the season, because at the beginning, 40%, we thought it was a fluke. Then it fell to, I think, 36. Now it's back up to probably 40 right now, actually. I am fascinated, Sam, because if he's shooting 38% on the season from three, that's not really fluky. That's a whole season. And that's because of, you know, Steph and Draymond with the IQ. And then, like you said, putting Klay next to him. But did you feel like he got to the rim a lot easier today because of the pick and rolls? I hate going back to this repeatedly, but I am. I actually do love it. I think it's the pick and rolls that just made his life a lot easier. He had a lot of them with Wiseman, interestingly enough, that he ran. And got Wiseman a lob once, got it to him again. Actually got to him twice. And then another time he turned it over, loose pass. But I think that just makes it easier because he's not a guy that can get his own shot. He's not Kawhi. He's not Paul George, right? Like those guys can get to the ball themselves. Yeah.
Handles, as you like to always say, is handles not where it needs to be. But, you know, you give him a little space, he can do some things. By the way, to your point, after tonight, he's 39.7% from three on the season. So, and he's right there. Honestly, if he can sit at 37%, I'm thrilled, you know? So anything above that is just, you know, it's gravy. But he is playing pretty well. The defense has been consistent all year. That's one thing I will say for him. Even though his offense can kind of wax and wane, the defensive effort has been pretty good all year. And you can say it was there tonight, too.
Yeah, your boy was shut down.
That's nice.
Did a good job on Levine. You know, he did a good job. I think with Wiggins, it never feels like if somebody's going to score on him, it's like the opposite of Wiseman, right? Somebody scores on him, he has literally no motion. And then on the flip side, you know, sometimes he's two for eight on the offensive end, and then, you know, he doesn't have any motion. I always find it fascinating. I forget who brought this up during the game, but Why the hell does Kelly Oubre have 13 shot attempts at halftime and Wiggins has like six, right? Like that's just kind of the way that their mentality is. It's just who they are.
One of them's playing for a contract. That's how.
Yeah, one's getting paid $90 million this season and the next two. So it all works out.
Yeah. Before we get to questions, so the Warriors got the Heat on Thursday, the Tampa Bay Raptors on Friday, and the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday. Assuming Steph plays all three games, there's a pretty good chance they can get themselves above 500 again.
Yeah, so they're one. Well, I'd say maybe at 500 after those three, right? I think you maybe pencil one of those as a loss, especially on the road. Like probably Miami, but Atlanta and Toronto, tanking Toronto, those should be wins. If this team is kind of playing how they did tonight, they didn't shoot hot from three. Like that's, I don't know how sustainable that is, but yeah, I think they've got an easy rest of the season schedule, man.
Yeah, they should be able to play themselves back into, I mean, I don't know if they're going to get out of the play-in range 7-10, but they should be able to stick there. And we'll see where they go from there. As long as Steph stays healthy, I feel very confident it's a playoff team. Yep. It's literally that simple.
You've heard us talking about it before, and we're back again to talk to you about hosting your own podcast here at Blue Wire. And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. I don't know how many times Sam and I get people DMing us about how to start a podcast. So if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with the Blue Wire's top podcast.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Casters, access to our community Discord and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to me or Sam or us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
Should we open this up to some comments?
Yeah, let's get some goons on.
All right, let's see what people have to say here.
Yo, what up? What up, boys?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on? Yo, so it's a brief question, right? So I wrote this in Miami because what do you think happens? Like, let's say, because we play really well where we execute and everything goes down, right? But then, like, right the next game, like, all of the game plan just kind of goes away. Like, it just kind of shambles, and we kind of go back in that all lives motion offense.
I did have a it looks like there's some audio issues there, but I think the people kind of...
Right?
We're going to... We'll get you back on stage, but let's take this question while he's off stage. So he's saying, are the Warriors going to stick with this offense? Or are the Warriors going to go back to trying to pass it side to side and tiki-taka their way through everything? Andy, your thoughts?
Fair point. We saw that against, Steph came out against Portland and then kind of took it on himself. I think this is kind of the question. This is why we did place some blame, or at least I did, on Steph early this season, because it's up to you, right? If Steph goes out there and just wants to run pick and roll and says, all right, whoever X and X made fun of me, and so I'm going to drop 60 on Portland, right? Steve is not going to say a word. Tonight, if because of this losing streak, Steph goes out there and says, I'm going to chuck shots and I'm going to run pick and roll and get Wiseman involved, Steve is not going to say a word. So, as much as I'd like to blame Steve, I think some of this is, look, if Steph wants to play this way and he sees that it's successful, then he should keep doing this for the rest of the season.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think Steph doesn't just consistently go, full LeBron or Harden and be like, all right, you two in the corners, you two on the wings, pick and roll. We're going to run this ad nauseum until it doesn't work.
Well, the thing we hear is that Steph is probably the most patient player in the league, right? Like, by far. He's not James Harden. He's not Chris Paul, LeBron, KD, like any of these guys. He's willing to kind of hear out what other people want to say and kind of say, like I understand what you're trying to do. I'm with it, right? He's willing to be coached. And he also likes the way that Steph coaches. Like, right. Not like he hates it. So I think it's a combination of a few things, right? It's been like 50 games and it's a losing streak. He's been hurt. I think it's a lot of those things.
The patience is running thin.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you think they're going to go back to running what they ran before? I truly don't know. I can't answer it.
Yeah, I mean, Miami is going to be a great test because Miami is a very veteran, strong defensive team. So it's one thing to just run a pick and roll and get whatever you want against the Chicago Bulls. It's another against a team with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Andre Iguodala. Is Andre even playing these days?
A little bit.
Trevor Ariza, who they just picked up. I mean, God, they just really loaded up on all the goons. It's another thing to do that on guys like that who are a little savvier. They're not going to mess up their rotations. They know exactly what the Warriors are going to do. So it'll be interesting against Miami, right?
Yeah, last time they played them, Spo was, remember what he did? He was, he kind of just let Steph torch him, just kind of in ISOs and pick and roll. So we'll see what Spo does this time. But I think they'll probably run a box in one or something, right? Like a triangle in one against Steph this time. They'll probably make him give the ball up. So see what happens.
Who's getting the South Beach flu?
Wiseman 19. It's almost his birthday. Throw Wiseman on the. It's got to be Oubre. Come on now. It's got to be great Draymond or Oubre easily.
Michael Mulder. Hi, Janelle. What's up?
What's up, y'all?
There we go.
I feel like you guys already answered my question, but I'm really thinking about, what's coming with Toronto. They're going to run box one, and I'm wondering how would they. The Warriors approach it offensively, considering about, what they've done tonight, would they mix it up some? How y'all feeling?
So, like, traditionally, the Warriors like to get Steph off ball if they go box and one and kind of try to get a bunch of misdirection to get him open. But I don't know if Andy has a better idea than me, but like the real question is like, this isn't the 2019 Warriors. It's not like Iguodala, Livingston, like a bunch of high IQ passers. Like you go box and one and get the ball out of Steph's hand. Kelly Oubre is going to just shoot the ball every time. So I don't know. I feel like the answer, honestly, is probably just let Steph ISO. If they're just going to put, let's say like Van Vliet on him and go box and one, just let Steph cook him. Just let Steph force it, honestly. Like, let him do his James Harden impression. And if they send a second man, then he can throw it instead of trying to overcomplicate it. Because I don't think Wiggins, Oubre, and those guys are going to be able to make the extra reads to do some of the, like, more complicated stuff that we, you know, we're used to the Warriors doing over the years.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, just keeping it for everybody else. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Janelle. We appreciate you coming on. We'll keep moving.
All right, Janelle.
Friend of the show. All right, let's see if all we right. can let's see if we can get a good one.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Good audio. Oh, here. Oh, finally.
Alyssa, yeah.
How's it going, man?
I've been chilling, man. I just wanted to talk about how, you know, he stopped using James Wiseman, like, you know, posting up like he was Andrew Bogut or something. And he just played way better when he kept it simple and he was just running pick and rolls with him the whole game, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Andy.
I'm just joy. Halftime interview was probably my favorite moment of this game. I went full hipster there, Sam, for you. But he was just smiling, making jokes. You know, I think that's kind of the point of the rest of the season right now. Like nobody in this room thinks that the Warriors are going to get a 6 seed, 5 seed, 4 seed, win a championship here. So make the best of it and get James Wiseman to become a good basketball player. And so you can have a good next season.
Mench is calling him Joyous Jim now.
Ooh, I like Joyous Jim.
All right, I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, call on again.
Joyous Jim. I like Joyous Jim. Damn, I might steal that. Yeah, but I'm not sure. We're going to get Sheet to do that for us.
Ricky, what's up, man?
What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right, so I remember, you know, a couple nights ago, Steve said that he thought this team could go on a run after the deadline. You know, I thought he meant, you know, 20 games after the deadline, since that's his magic benchmark number. So could tonight be the start of a, you know, we believe-esque type of season-ending run to sneak into the playoffs without the play-in game?
Ooh, I like it. I'm going to pull up the standings. Andy, you give your thoughts while I pull up the numbers.
Yeah. Somehow I had it up. The Warriors are 5.5 games behind the Portland Trail Blazers right now. The Blazers are 28-18. Actually, the Nuggets are 28-18. Hilariously enough, the Lakers are at fourth. They'll probably slide a little bit. So 5 games out with 47, 50, 25, about 25 games to go. Tough. Now, if they didn't blow like 4 games this season already, like you can probably say the Warriors lost 4 games this season that they shouldn't have. I would say they had a chance, you know, they'd be 27-20. But I think there is a chance here, though, that the Warriors can still advance. If you're talking about a we believe type of season, I still think there's a chance that they can win a first round series. Like, I don't think that's crazy, right? Because I'm looking at the standings right now. I'm seeing Utah and I'm seeing Phoenix as the 1 and 2 seed. Those don't scream, all right, they're going to beat the Warriors in 5 games to me. They might. Maybe they will, but those are teams that I think the Warriors can beat in a first-round series.
All right, gun to your head, Andy. If you had to pick, which of those two would you find a more favorable matchup? By the way, thank you, Ricky. Who do you think would be easier for the Warriors to beat? Who do you think the Warriors have a better chance of upsetting, Utah or Phoenix?
Probably Utah, which is kind of nasty to say for me. But I think Chris Paul is better, at least in the post. I know the joke is Chris Paul in the postseason, but he is objectively good. And to me, it feels like
Utah is pretty high with Chris Paul. Yeah.
Yes. And I just think they're better. But with Utah, you know, they've got great 3-point shooting, but are they real 3-point shooters? We don't know. Rudy Gobert in the postseason defensively, is he that good if he has to guard Steph Curry? Like, I think Utah's probably that team. What do you think?
I like it because Steph can frustrate their biggest strength, which is like funneling guys to Rudy Gobert. Whereas, you know how Phoenix series is going to go. Chris Paul is going to be just, you know, punching him in the tailbone.
Jesus Christ.
Just trying to injure it. Like, it's, I also think Phoenix's offense might be better set up for the playoffs just because I don't think Chris Paul or Devin Booker are doing anything different in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. They're taking the same difficult shots. Whereas Utah is so precision-based. I don't know what their counter moves are. They don't even have to go to them at this point. They're an excellent team. I like them. I don't want to say they're easier, but it just feels like that's probably – I could just see them getting a little tighter if it's a 2-2 series. Whereas Phoenix, I don't know if they'll get as tight.
I agree. I agree. Like, I think it's we got to see it, right? We got to see it with Utah before anything happens. They remind me of the Atlanta Hawks, but a better version of those Atlanta Hawks teams that were great regular season teams and just kind of failed in the postseason. Ironically enough, they may have to get through LeBron again and AD to get to the Western Conference or the NBA Finals. So we'll see. By the way, shouts to Feltbot tonight, who's been hilarious on Twitter. He noted, Sam, not one pick and roll question from Kerr for Kerr in the postgame. Very interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah, very interesting.
That is a great point from our guy Feltbot, who knows exactly what he wants to say when he says it. all right, we got a new listener up here. Drub, what's up, man?
Hey guys, I have a question about JTA, and I know it's Latino Heritage Day tonight, but I just want to know, we know he's a great basketball player. When and where is he going to get minutes to be able to contribute to, like, you know, maybe a We Believe-esque run for this Warriors team?
That is a great question. Drumming to take off stage. So here's how I see the rotation. Let's start here, Andy. Okay, so Steph, Oubre, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman start, right?
Hmm?
Poole should be the backup point guard. Looney, obviously, is your first big who's mixing in there. That's seven players. Is there not minutes on the wings for Bazemore, JTA, and Damian Lee? And you just kind of mix and match those three guys with the starters, depending on who's rolling. Maybe you want a little more defense, you go a little JTA. You need a little more shooting, you put Damian Lee in there. And you just kind of make it like they're all going to play, but like depending on the matchup. Okay, so Chicago is not a great defensive team. Maybe you just want the shooter. Maybe you want Damian Lee in there a little more tonight. But maybe against Miami, you know, maybe it's more of a JTA type of game. That's just the way I see it. Like, this team doesn't have two-way wings. They have a lot of guys who are, you know, offense or defense, do certain things. So you just kind of play it that way. And I think JTA should be in the rotation. Maybe some nights he's playing only 8 to 10 minutes, but other nights he's playing 25 minutes, depending on the matchup.
I 100% agree with you. And tonight I almost kind of said, okay, like, look, it's maybe it's not his game, although I disagree with that, right? I'm more disgusted by the fact that Nico Mannion is playing basketball. Nico Mannion, despite being a quote-unquote real point guard, has nowhere near the vision and feel for the game that Toscano Anderson has, right? So that in itself makes no sense. So that's bullshit. I think your point about the guys that, you know, kind of match up based where they put them in, I think that's fair. Like, Steve Kerr is going to want to play 36 guys in a game anyway. but like, if he has to cut them down, like, Bazemore had a great game today offensively. So like, okay, I'm okay with that, right? You play him as many as you want. Damian Lee, I think you always should give him run because he spaces the floor. And I think JTA should get that run too. Like, he should get a shot at that. It feels like he only plays when in case of emergency, doesn't it? Like, oh, Draymond's out, right? Like, we don't have any other big. Wiseman's out or hurt or whatever. Like, all right, we're going to have to play JTA like 36 minutes. And it's like, should that be the case? It feels like Kerr is thinking, well, we're only going to play him when Draymond's out because we can't have multiple Draymonds out there or something like that, or when there's a big out. Like, I don't think that should be the case. As far as I'm concerned, Nico Mannion does not provide any more of a handle or shooting or anything, driving ability that JTA cannot. So, and I think JTA, I would probably maybe even insert him in the rotation above Bazemore, because Bazemore is so hit and miss on offense. So I'm with you, though. I'm okay if he plays the matchup based on the bench side, but he definitely should be playing. It's a little odd.
Yeah, I mean, it should be Steph and Poole at the point guard spot, Wiseman and Looney at the five spot, and then just everyone else is a wing. Everyone else is like you mix and match. Like, obviously, Draymond is always going to be in the mix because he's your second best player. But everyone else, it should just be just funnel them through there. Play, you know, try out different combinations. Go a little JTA, Oubre, Lee. Go a little Wiggins, Bazemore. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's you might as well just play them through because, like, the one thing this team does have, it may not have superstar wings, doesn't have like Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant, but it does have a lot of wings who can at least play a little bit. So you might as well use that to your advantage and keep the energy level high. And, you know, we've seen Wiggins tire out and then just settle for crappy shots. Like,
yeah.
If you can play him like three less minutes a game, you might get more out of him, right?
That's such a great point. I had forgotten about that with the before the All-Star break. Andrew Wiggins was exhausted. And I do remember kind of saying, like, does the guy even want to play basketball? And that's part of it, right? He's playing a lot. He's playing a lot, and he's playing a lot defensively. Like, everybody can do what James Harden does. Every superstar in the NBA does that. Just fucking go. Oh, here we go. We got a new guy. All right, here we go.
What's up, Jamil?
What's up? Was this Wiseman's best game?
I think it's definitely his best game. Since the wrist injury, for sure. Do we think it's his best game on the season, though? That's a good question.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, Vucevic was too hard to handle, but I think he held his own.
It was. Oh, go ahead, Jamil.
No, it's a talk.
I think one of those things where. It was his best game if you want to project him out to be a very good basketball NBA player, right? Like, there was nothing in this game where to me, oh, this guy's going to be AD or this guy's going to be Giannis. But how many ADs and Giannises are there in the NBA? Like, literally, it's just those two guys and like KD, right? Like, that's it. 2, 3, 4 generational guys like that. Oh. But this game tells me that he could be Rudy Gobert with a jump shot.
Lastly, why does Oubre, like, when 4 defenders are there, like, he tries to drive into them. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, man. Jamil, I appreciate you.
Jamil is the best at calling because he's laughing whenever he's talking. It cracks me up.
Yeah, and it's worth noting. If any of you can figure out how to activate Oubre's vision, you should be the head coach of the team because we've been hard on Steve Kerr this year, and I think most of it's been fair, but one thing I'm not hard on him for is, like, you know, turning Kelly Oubre into something he isn't. Oubre, I think, is a really good player. Vision is not a skill I would define as, you know, one of his better ones.
I don't think they're saving that man from ever learning how to pass the ball, but... You know, I think he was in a situation tonight where...
Watch him get 10 assists versus Miami.
Oh, my God. If he gets 10 assists ever in a game, I will. I don't even know what I will do. Like, it's just ridiculous that he'd ever do that.
What do you think Oubre's assist career high is?
Oh, my. I want to say, like, 8. Can you look it up?
I just looked it up. So, all right, your official guess is 8?
It's got to be when he was in Phoenix.
Let's see if anyone in the chat gets it.
It's got to be one of those games.
So Rue got it, and I'm positive she looked it up. So, no, I'm just kidding. It is 7. It's officially 7 for how many? That is Kelly Oubre's career assist high.
She said, "I knew it because she looked it up in the third game." That's hilarious. She's light years ahead of us.
Nice.
7. How many? Can you look up the box score for the game? How many times did he shoot the ball? Because I feel like it was one of those super high usage games. Did he shoot it? Like 25 times?
I'll look it up. Let's get a next caller is Luke. Let's get Luke up here while I pull this up.
Yeah. How's it going, Luke?
How you going, buddy?
Up, man?
There we go.
We're good.
A bit more positivity today, eh, boys? That's good, huh?
Yeah, we needed this. We needed to pick up the mood around these parts.
That's it. I just wanted to touch base with you boys. Ever since that fucking Warriors scout came down here to the NBL, bloody Jessup's been absolute dog shit. I just wanted to say...
Oh my God, I almost choked. Jesus.
Yeah, he's been I just wanted to say, I sent it to Sammy. Yeah, they're using him on the ball. So before, when you guys, I don't know if you, like, the guys in this chat have been watching it, but they've been, he's been playing a lot off the ball like Clay Thompson. He's not, obviously not Clay Thompson.
Right, right. He's been playing a Clay Duncan Robinson type of role.
So last night's game, they played their first game in Wollongong, right? Their home ground. It's a really good ground. Yeah, he's playing on the ball, and he was absolutely fucking dog shit. He only scored like 6 points. But I wanted to ask you guys, tap into your brains a bit regarding tonight's game and going forward. Do you think they're kind of being told by the Joey Lightyears to how he's going to play going forward when he gets brought over?
Ooh, I don't think that the Warriors are bringing over Justinian and Jessup to be a point. Let me put this way, I hope they're not bringing him over to be a point guard.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'm wondering if that was a matchup-based thing where they just wanted to see him in a different role, maybe.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. You know the NBL better than me.
It doesn't seem like they do that.
So anyway, I just want to give you guys insight. But, yeah, I just because of tonight and the whole, you know, all these rotations were different, like one and that not playing.
Right.
Like we said before, I don't see how Pascal plays now. Like, when's he playing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to. Like, Juan Toscano-Anderson deserves the minutes. Yeah. Like the only minutes he'd probably play is if Looney or Wiseman get hurt. Like, that's the only way he can play as a small ball five, unless he figures out, one, how to defend, two, how to pass the ball. He does neither of those things. And I like Eric Pascal, like, in that who he is. But, yeah, he's not. It's not Steve Kerr's fault this time.
But all I want to say to too that obviously we're hitting some nerves over there. So keep the good work up, boys, and everyone in the chat here. Keep the pressure on online because I reckon they're feeling it. So keep the good work up, boys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you as always, Luke. All right, I got that Kelly Oubre box score for you. So it's from January 24th, 2019. Oubre, 7 assists. 6 rebounds, 6 for 18 from the field, 18 points. Getting his Russell Westbrook on.
Nice. Who do you play against?
I'll give you one guess. It's a Western Conference team who's not known for defense, but are always talked up as being better than they are. I'm going to be mad if you don't get this.
I want to say Portland.
That is correct.
Wow. I was going to say Houston, but I said I didn't cheat. I didn't look at the chat. Wow, just a big pause. Ooh, sweating. Sam got me under pressure tonight. Ooh, this must be how Steve Kerr feels when he's reading everyone's tweets on Twitter.
It's how he feels when they lob the questions he wants in the postgame. Let's get moving. Antonio, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, I want to say, I saw your tweet the other day. I also agree. Fuck Comcast. Couldn't watch the game. Can't do my homework. I did get to listen to the all female the game broadcast. It was good. Clay was on for a sec. It was fun. But so my question is, it was Cardi kind of already answered. But so Steve is very vocal about his political opinions. We know he supports Black Lives Matter. He's a Stop Asian Hate, even though he runs that All Lives Matter offense, but he hasn't really shown that he really like fucks with the Latinos like that, like especially the way he did Juan tonight on the Latino month, bro. Like, I mean, what's up with that? That's just hella weird. Like, he's definitely earned it. I mean, you already went over it, but yeah, that just kind of got me mad. But yeah,
yeah, Sam, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I don't think Steve's considering what Heritage Night he is with his rotations, but it is strange that Juan Toscano-Anderson is just out of the rotation for no apparent reason. Like, it shouldn't take a specific Heritage Night for Juan to play. Like, Juan should just be playing every night because this roster doesn't have enough players who are better than him for him not to play, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's, it could be Italian Heritage Night, Nico Mannion still shouldn't play. But, I mean, at least not this year, maybe next year. Maybe it gets better next year. I mean, he's young. But anyway, I don't know, man.
That was good. That was good. I like that one.
Antonio, I appreciate you.
Nico, I actually think Nico's going to be a good basketball player, but yeah, he didn't deserve the run. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Juan Toscano. The two-way contract thing doesn't even work anymore because he's going to be on the team. He's going to get a guaranteed contract at some point. So, you know, who knows what it's about, but he should be playing. It's all we can say.
Yeah. All right, we got three callers left. We can get through all of them because
we're going to get through everyone?
We're going to get through everyone tonight.
Nice.
What's Hello, up, man? Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you.
Awesome. First thing I wanted to say was I'm glad to see both Steve Kerr and the 49ers changing their ways. Steve allowing more pick and rolls, 49ers going for it. So next thing we know, 49ers are going to draft Mac Jones and he's going to be running off five screens.
Cut the I almost dropped him.
I mean, you got to just lean into the joke at this point, right? Like, you can't let people get you mad with the Mac Jones stuff, right, Andy?
I am going to let it get me mad because it fucking pisses me off. Every time I hear Mac Jones's goddamn name, man, it makes me angry. So,
yeah, we have to believe in whatever smoke screen they're putting up. I don't know if this is too out of the box because it was maybe more being talked about during the trade deadline, but I do want to know what you guys thought would, like, how the Warriors' offseason plans change if the Minnesota pick doesn't convey and how that might change their, like, overall plans.
Ooh. So we've kind of danced around it, but, like, I don't think – and, by the way, we appreciate you coming on. Andy, I don't know – I haven't wanted to put too much thought into it, but I feel like if it doesn't convey, they have to get a little more aggressive in the trade market, right?
Not even that they have to.
They have to either way, but, like, yeah.
It would be disastrous to me if they're holding on to that pick this offseason, if it conveys. It just, there's too many unknowns, and you got to leverage the unknowns by trading that thing. I don't even care. Trade it for, Sam, help me out here. It's just the mediocre. Like, I don't even care who they trade it for, but you can't wait. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. You got to flip that thing for something. Get Pascal Siakam. Like, I'm not even asking for a superstar. Like, Siakam's not even a star. So he's, like, the definition of a slightly, like, above average basketball player.
Yeah, you're being a little rough now.
Yeah, I am. I am. But, like, get me that guy, right? You can't hold on to him anymore. Like, we're watching this with Wiseman this year at 19 years old. Like, I don't know, man, unless you're telling me Kate Cunningham's happening. Or, sorry, excuse me. Like, I don't know, like, 2 years from now, what are the names? Bates? Chet Nemone? Like, those are the guys? Yeah, so.
All right. What up? What up, my boys?
Saeed, what is up, my man? How you doing?
What up? Question from me to you guys. How are we filling out these last two roster spots? Are they going to buy out anybody? Are they going to buy anybody? Are they going to just give it to JTA and Nico? Or what's the situation, what do you think?
It's a good question. All right, so who are we betting on the buyout market? I feel like the only name who matters is Otto Porter, right?
Right.
Is that right?
Avery Bradley, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like I'm more interested in that. So I'd rather have Otto Porter for the simple fact he's only 27 and his next contract will not be a max contract. So if the Warriors buy him out or they get him in the buyout market, they use a disabled player exception or something like that, they might actually be able to retain him. And, you know, Otto Porter as your backup power forward is pretty nice, right?
Yeah, like, but Orlando closed with Otto Porter tonight, so I feel like they're just going to keep him.
Yeah, I don't know. They're still – we'll see. So, I don't know. The other options are they could just convert JTA. They could convert Nico and use their two-way spots on another prospect, like maybe the next JTA or something like that. Like, these are options. I just don't expect, like, outside of maybe Otto Porter, I don't expect anything exciting.
What about Boogie?
No, I'm joking.
I wouldn't mind it, but I don't think that relationship worked out that great because of the Warriors, because it's Boogie. But they should use the disabled player exception, I feel like. That's something that they should leverage.
Saeed, appreciate you coming on. Yeah, they should. We'll see how it plays out. I'm waiting to see how it plays out before I make comments.
Yep.
Let's get to last caller of the night. Juwan, what's up, man?
Howdy, fellas. How's it going? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Yes, sir.
First things first, I wanted to mention this last time, but I really want to give you guys your flowers for what you guys are doing. From a pure podcast standpoint, you guys are light years above. Like, I know a lot of the listeners don't really realize that because they're not in the space, but coming from somebody who does podcasting and what you guys are doing with Locker Room and giving the fans a chance to be heard, like, kudos to you guys, because it's amazing, honestly. Definitely. But my question is, just looking ahead, going in the rabbit hole, you know, hypothetically, if the Warriors were to win a championship, you know, a year, 2 years from now, would that championship be sweeter than the 2015 championship after all we've been through? Thanks.
I've thought about that one. I appreciate the kind words, Sean. Andy, if the Warriors win a title in, let's not even say 2022, let's say 2024, Steph Curry is 35 years old, 36 years old almost. He's got gray hairs. He's starting to look like me, except like, you know, 5% body fat, unlike me. So would that feel sweeter than the first one for you?
First of all, we're going to take Jawan's comments and post them on Twitter, obviously. We need to do that. Second of all, I feel like it's kind of disrespectful to the 16-17 championship, because that team was the greatest team of all time. And I don't know if I can just say that 2014-15 was more fun than that one. So I'll say that. But yeah, it's. I think it might be at the top for me, though. Like, because you saw the way that this team is kind of falling apart, at least like a little bit. And then, honestly, if I'm Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, Joe Lacob, this may be the greatest light years moment of all time. If you told me that this team lost KD, then got James Wiseman and used the Minnesota pick and traded it and won a championship. Oh my, like,
there's no,
oh
there's,
my God.
There's no comp that's perfect, but like, I feel like we need to talk to a Laker fan about it, because like, do they value the dominance of the first three-peat or the emotion of Kobe winning title after Shaq left and they were kind of in the abyss and disgusting for 3 years there, then they get back to the top? I almost feel like that probably means more. Like, I don't know. From a Steph career arc, if he gets number four and beyond that, I do think it matters more. But I don't know. From a pure Warriors fan standpoint, it's very hard to top the feeling of like when they won their first title and you're like, oh, they're really going to do it. Like, this is really happening. And then it's also very hard to top like the 16-17. You're like, I think that's the best team I've ever seen of all time. I didn't like it. It's just like, we're going to be old men watching, you know, the Detroit Pistons win a title in 2050 and be like, they're not better than the 2016-17 Warriors. You know, like, we're going to be like those old guys. So, like, it's hard to say. I don't know. You have to see. But, like, that's kind of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, I think that's when Steph said that he has nothing left to accomplish in his career, but he still has some. Like, he had that one great quote, which I think, you know, Steph's boring as hell when he talks, but that great quote about, like, he still can prove things. Like, I think that's part of it. You know, Kobe won two more after that.
He said, I have nothing to prove, but I have things I want to accomplish.
It's incredible. I messed it up, but that's an incredible quote. It's an incredible quote, and you kind of understand where he's coming from. He doesn't have anything left to prove. There isn't. And if he does that, I think it's the story there is great, because, I mean, let's just kind of say it for what it is. He's not running away from a franchise. He's not running away from any players. He's staying here. He's going to sign another long contract. He's going to watch James Wiseman grow up, right? He's going to go down the ship with Draymond and Clay. That's who he is. And if he wins a title like that, I don't think there's any other player ever in existence that's going to be like that again. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, he's not flipping from Cleveland to Miami to Cleveland to LA, buying off media members. You know, like, it's all authentic. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say. We should end it there. The vibes are weak tonight. So
that was great. That's good stuff. All right.
Hey, we appreciate you all. We'll be back after the Miami game, and it won't even be late at night.